I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be, when away at my side there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy," and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy." 'Twas the old ship of Zion, the sailing along, all aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song, and the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, as I cried. Commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh, soul sinking down neath life's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay, for the old ship of Zion, and shout on your way. Jesus save, Jesus save, shout and sing. Lord,
because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Well, I do want to preach a little bit tonight. All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Amen. Verse 3, who being in the form, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The right hand of God. He sat down, the Bible says, on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Bless this message to our good and thy glory. For Jesus' sake, amen. The Bible has a great deal to say about the right hand of God. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated today. He is at God's right hand. Now, if you will read the Old Testament, you'll discover that God's attributes are described as being synonymous with his right hand. I will instruct thee, we'll skip that, but creation was by the right hand of God, Isaiah 48:15. Righteousness is by the right hand of God, Psalm 48:10. Security and omnipresence is by the right hand of God. Defense, protection, and blessing comes from God's right hand. And God's blessings even come from God's right hand. Okay, now I'm left-handed. Okay, did God leave me out? No, I don't think so. I know we have phrases. We say, right on, buddy. Too bad he got left out, you know. And right makes might, you know. No. God didn't leave out left-handed people. Remember in the Old Testament, they took the pitchers in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand. Okay? And Ehud, that judge of Israel, remember what he did to that king, that Old Testament king? He took his sword out of his left hand, and boy, did he use it. So God's not against left-handed people. But when the Bible wants to describe the attributes of God, his perfections, what he is in his sovereignty, it uses the phrase the right hand. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ today is at God's right hand. Our text says so here. When he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, what does the Bible mean when it talks about God's right hand? Very briefly, let me just share with you some of these characteristics. May I say that the right hand of God, first of all, is a place of divine propitiation. The word propitiation is a big word, but it's a Bible word. You find it in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set to be forth a propitiation through faith in his blood. And the word propitiation simply deals with satisfaction. On the cross of Calvary, God was satisfied totally with the offering of Jesus Christ. So the right hand of God, where the Lord Jesus is seated, is a place of divine satisfaction. It's a place of divine propitiation. Okay? God looks at his Son as he sits on the right hand, and he says, I am totally satisfied. Hallelujah. Well, the religious world today isn't. They're trying to satisfy God. A Hindu festival. Over 1 million Hindus a day go into the Ganges River. 10 million in 10 days. All trying to find salvation in the Ganges River, trying to satisfy God. Okay? Roman Catholicism offers its sacrifice in the Eucharist and the Mass over and over and over again. What are they trying to do? They are trying to satisfy God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God has already been satisfied. He has already been propitiated. Okay? I had an uncle, Uncle Charlie. He was a rabid, avid Roman Catholic, a wicked, devout Roman Catholic. Ungodly Roman Catholic, but very devout in his faith. In his latter years, he got sick. They put him in a hospital in Manistique, Michigan, but nobody was ever going to tell Uncle Charlie what to do. No doctor, no nurse was going to tell. And when one day, when nobody was looking around, he just dressed himself back up, got in his clothes, and walked out on the highway and hitchhiked all the way down the Detroit area and knocked on his son's door, who lived in Roseville, Michigan. And his son answered the door and saw his son deathly sick and rushed him to the hospital, where my dad, Uncle Charlie's brother, met Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie was dying. And my dad took his New Testament. And when they came into the hospital room, Uncle Charlie was counting his prayer beads. He was going through the rosary, Hail Mary, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know that? And my dad led my Uncle Charlie to saving knowledge in Christ. And the moment my Uncle Charlie got saved, he took his prayer beads, opened the drawer, chest drawer beside him, put those prayer beads in the drawer and said, I don't need these any longer. I've got Christ. Because he learned that God was totally propitiated, satisfied with the offering of Christ. Secondly, the right hand of God, where the Lord Jesus is seated, is a place of divine pleasure. Turn to Psalm 16, 8 through 11, please. Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Place of divine pleasure. And this is a well-known verse. Verse concerning the Lord Jesus, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasure. Where? Where do you find it? True pleasure. At God's right hand in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world goes out and has a weekend binge. They get drunk. And they commit all kinds of fornication and adultery and all kinds of licentiousness and sin. And they spend all weekend trying to get over it. And come back Monday morning to go to work, and somebody said, don't ever buy an automobile that was built on Friday or on Monday. Because it's built by drunk people. Okay? I don't know whether that's true or not. Okay? And that's their sinful... I want to tell you what. I've got pleasure that has no hangover to it. Okay, all I got to do is go to God's right hand, and there I can find divine pleasure. The right hand of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated, is a place of divine pleasure. It's a place of divine petition and prayer. Hebrews chapter 8. Now the things we have seen and heard and spoken, this is the sum. Such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand. And there he is offering prayer for you and for me. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. He's up there doing something at God's right hand. What's he doing? He's praying for you and for me. And he never stops. Isn't that good to know? The God of Israel neither sleepeth nor slumbereth, folks. And he's praying for you and for me. And I want to tell you, God answers his prayers. Okay? The Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, knows how to sift those prayers. And the right hand of God is a place of divine... That's why we ought to go there. We ought to go to God's right hand. Because it's a place of divine petition and prayer. Well, the right hand of God, where the Lord Jesus is seated, is a place of divine provision. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God provides my needs. Where? At his right hand. He answers my prayer and provides my needs. Yes, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Where is the Lord Jesus? He's at God's right hand. And from God's right hand, he is there providing for your needs and for mine. I could take all night, hours, to tell you the stories of how God has provided for this individual. My wife just talked to me last night. She said, honey, just want you to know somebody from South Carolina sent you some money yesterday. You didn't ask for it, but they sent you some money, and it was a nice amount, okay? How the Lord supplies. I tell you, my God shall supply all your needs. And He does it from God's right hand, where He answers our prayers, okay? Keep on praying. God will answer prayer. Amen? And there, God provides for your needs and for mine. And I want to tell you something, folks. God's shovel is bigger than ours. The right hand of God with the Lord Jesus seated is a place of divine power. Luke 22:69 says, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. I can do all things through Christ, the Bible says, that strengtheneth me. Thy right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Thy right hand hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Often my heart longed to pray, sinner, so what could I say? Then I was told of the blood-sprinkled way opened by Jesus my Lord. Well, I found the way through the blood past the veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There by His power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that He trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that He promised for me. Power over sin, power over Satan, and power for Christian service. It's yours tonight. God's power. Where do you get it? God's right hand. Why don't you go there more often? I don't know. Well, that's where we need to go. Sixthly, the right hand of God with the Lord Jesus seat is a place of divine paradise. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me where? In paradise. Now you know that in the Old Testament, when the dead, both the saved and the unsaved, died, they went to a place called Sheol in the Hebrew text, Hades in the Greek text. But according to the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 16, Sheol, Hades, were divided into the two sections. A lower compartment, which was and still is a place of misery and suffering. When people die today, they go to hell. They go to the lower compartment of Sheol, Hades. And there they await consignment at the great white throne to the lake of fire. Well, when the Old Testament saints died, they went to the upper compartment of Sheol Hades, a place of temporary comfort and bliss. But I want to tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His blood, arose from the dead, and ascended on high, He emptied paradise, the upper compartment of its occupants. And all the former occupants of paradise are now in heaven. Amen? And the Apostle Paul said he had that experience of going there one time. And he said, I can't tell you about it. I just tell you I was there. But I can't describe it. But I was there. I said, oh, yes. Stephen, when he died, he ascended to paradise. Yes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, I saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, saying, Lord, and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When Stephen died, he didn't go down to the upper compartment of Sheol Hades, to paradise. No, he went up to paradise. He went up to heaven. And when I die, folks, they're not getting me. Amen. I'm going up. Amen. I'm going up. Well, let me say seventhly and finally, the right hand of God with the Lord Jesus is seated is a place of divine preparation. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And for 2,000 years now, the Lord Jesus Christ has been up in heaven preparing place for me. I like that. And I like what my King James Bible calls it. Doesn't call it, the New International Version calls it rooms. My King James Bible calls it mansions. I got a mansion, we sang. I don't have just some rooms. I got a mansion over the hilltop. When my life on this earth is finished, I'm going to be whisked away to heaven's shore. And, you know, he's been up there 2,000 years working on my home and working on yours, too. Jesus is a great builder, folks. He said, I will build my church. Amen. He's up there building. Okay. He's building a place for us. Okay. He's building those mansions for 2,000 years. I want to tell you something. You're 2,000 years in building something, it's going to be pretty nice. You know, I love the old-fashioned Southern gospel music. You know me, you know I like, okay. I like that. We'll have a grand homecoming week the first 10,000 years. Oh, I love that. Okay. Yeah, mansion over the hilltop. Victory in Jesus. All right. When he calls, I'll fly away. I like those. But there's one old-fashioned Southern gospel song I don't ever want to sing. It's called, Lord, Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land. That's not for me. For 2,000 years, he's been up there building that mansion. And I think he's almost got it ready. And one of these days, he's coming back. I never will forget, well, it's been almost 40 years ago now. I had just conducted a series of evangelistic meetings Sunday through Friday in the Detroit area, southwest side of Detroit. And I was in between meetings. I had Saturday free. And my then pastor in Michigan went on vacation. And there was a friend of the church, not a member, but who died. And he was in Virginia and couldn't. So he called me and said, would you conduct the funeral? I said, yeah, I got Saturday free. So I put the time and conducted this funeral on Saturday for this man. I didn't know whether he was saved or not. I just told people how to get saved, okay, because I knew nothing about the individual. But when the funeral service was over, they said, hey, we'd like to take you to a place to eat, would you? Oh, yeah. I said, you know a Baptist that doesn't like to eat? He's sick, dying, or dead. Okay. So I said, sure. They took me to Bloomfield Hills. Maybe you don't know much about metropolitan Detroit, but Bloomfield Hills is where the automobile executives, the millionaires and the billionaires live. And they drove me in this fancy, fancy automobile, luxury automobile, up to the top of this lovely green knoll. And I walked into this beautiful mansion. And I looked at my 3995 Sears and Roebuck suit, and I said, I don't belong here. Boy, and I saw all the expensive furniture, and I saw the lavish carpet, and I looked at all the everything around me, and it was not cheap. Beautiful art pictures, so forth. And I said, I don't belong here. And I said, hey, wait a minute. This is nothing to what I'm going to have. I'm going to enjoy myself because it's just going to be a little foretaste of what I'm going to get when I get to heaven. Okay? And he's up there at God's right hand working on the mansion he's building for you and for me. And when it's completed, and when he's got them all ready, the skies are going to part. The trumpet's going to sound. He's going to come back. He's going to take us all home. Okay? To that place he's been preparing for us at God's right hand for 2,000 years. What a mansion is going to be. When the songwriter said, I got a mansion over the hilltop, he didn't know half of what he was writing. Okay? Can't you just see that? Wow. It's going to be mine. And it isn't going to be because I got a sinful nature that I want it either. When I get there, I'm not going to have any sinful nature, so I can want it all life, and it's going to be mine. It's going to be yours, too, to occupy throughout the realms of all of eternity. Say, haven't I got a wonderful Savior? Where is he right now? He's at God's right hand. And there he's praying for me and for you and preparing a place that we're going to someday occupy. Thank God for his right hand, Pastor.